Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Do you want to be rich? When people hear that question, many think they're about to hear the latest pitch for a network marketing business, overseas investment scam, or get-rich-quick scheme. Actually, when I say you can be rich, I'm not sharing what someone else says or what we think. We're giving you the principles found in the Word of God. It's important to note there's a scriptural progression if you want to become rich. Proverbs 10:22 tells us the formula for God's riches.
I love it.
And who would want anything else?
That's right. Really.
Classic Amplified Bible says, "The blessings of the Lord, it makes truly rich. And he, God, has no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it." Riches are the result of God's blessing on our lives.
Hallelujah.
Over the last couple of days, the Rich Thoughts for Breakfast calls, we referenced Isaiah 1, verses 16 and 17. And as we did, we indicated we felt a stirring to teach on these verses. Stirring was confirmed, and here we go. Isaiah 1, 16 and 17, King James Version. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." If you want to be rich, there are seven things mentioned in these two verses. Number one, wash and make yourself clean. In searching the scriptures, people frequently were told to wash their outer bodies and then their inner bodies, mind and heart. Jesus made this distinction in Matthew 23:26, when he says, "You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the plate, so that the outside may be clean also." When we're clean before him, we're ready for his use for the kingdom. 2 Timothy 2:21, New Living Translation. If you keep yourself pure, that's the problem, people keeping themselves poor. Scripture says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use for every good work.
Number two, remove evil from your eyesight. When we look at something, we're focusing on that person or object. The Word of God is clear that he doesn't want us looking at such things that are, well, Maybe I should put it this way. Definitely below your spiritual pay grade as a child of the Most High God. In 1 John 2, verse 16, Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurances in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. These do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself." Lingering looks at forbidden things, objects or whatever, are not of God. In fact, he's watching us, everything we do. He's watching us right now to make sure that the people, you know, that he is...
He's going to give us a break.
Yeah, he's already blessed us.
And that's why he's watching.
Exactly.
Like it says in...
Proverbs 15:3. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He's watching over us.
Yes, he is.
Even now.
Number three, cease doing evil. It's not enough to stop looking at evil. Those with evil ways must also stop. There is an immediate as well as an eternal benefit when a person stops doing evil. Jeremiah 25:5, says, they say, turn ye again now for everyone from his evil way, from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you, to your fathers, forever and ever.
Four, do the right things well. You know, regardless of our background or our upbringing or educational experience, we all have to learn to do what's right in God's sight. But doing right is a conscious, individual choice. Job 34, verse 4 in the New International Reader's Version says, so let's choose for ourselves what is right. Let's learn together what is good. Proverbs 9:9 in the New Living Translation says, instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more.
Amen. Number five, help those who are down and out. The reason God wants us to help the oppressed is because we are his agents on the earth. Psalm 22:24, God's Word Translation. The Lord has not despised or been disgusted with the plight of the oppressed one. He has not hidden his face from that person. The Lord heard when the oppressed person cried out to him for help. Scripture says God hears the cry of the oppressed.
Hallelujah.
And he's calling us to do something about it.
That's right.
Psalm 72:12, New Living Translation. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. When we make ourselves available to help the oppressed, then blessings are coming our way. Proverbs 14:31, New Living Translation. Those who oppress the poor insult their maker, but helping the poor honors him.
And that's what we're called to do.
That's it.
Number six, be an advocate for the orphans. We've written extensively about helping widows and the orphans, and we often really have, and we're about to, quote the James scripture. But the thing of it is how it pleases the Lord. And actually, for more on this subject, you could really go to www.haroldherring.com and do a search for orphans, and it'll bring you a lot of interesting blogs in that subject.
It will.
When it comes to caring for the orphan, we feel that James 1:27, Classic Amplified, James 1:27 says it best. It says, external religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts, that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God, the Father, is this: to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and need, and to keep oneself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world.
Number seven, stand up for the widows. Nearly every day, and it's true, I'm confronted with sad stories from people and a number of widows who are barely surviving. Some people because their late husband, some people are barely surviving because their late husband never did any financial planning or spent every dime they had. I've also seen widows who've lost all they had helping their children who take advantage of a mother's heart. What are you and I to do about widows, especially those in our own household? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Wow.
James 1:27, New Living Translation. Religion that pleases God the Father must be pure and spotless. You must help needy orphans and widows and not let this world make you evil. Luke 11:41, New Living Translation. So clean the inside by giving your hearts to the poor? No, sorry. Well, your heart needs to be for the poor. That's not what the scripture says. So clean the inside by giving gifts to the poor and you'll be clean all over. So clean the inside by giving gifts to the poor, and you'll be clean all over, strong. As we implement the instructions found in Isaiah 16 and 17, I want you to look at the promises found in Isaiah 118 and the Living Bible. Come, let us talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you're stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. When we do the seven things God tells us to do that we've just shared, He'll make our sins as white as snow. Not only that, but listen to, shout over, and rejoice as I read Isaiah 119 in the Living Bible. It says, if you only let me help you, if you only obey, then I will make you rich.
Now think about that. That is what God said. It's not what some, prosperity preacher is preaching. He's only preaching the word of God. It really says that, if you will only let me help you, if you obey me, the blessing of the Lord, what we was talking, Proverbs 2 and 22, it makes you rich because you are blessed. That's why, because you are blessed to be a blessing, and then you can help other people and not just yourself.
Amen. The key point of this teaching is how to become rich. So it's important to fully understand that when the scripture says, if you only let me help you, if you only obey, it clearly means we have a choice.
That's right.
That's a good verse to personalize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If Denise will only let me help her, if she will only obey, then I'll make Denise rich. If Ray will only let me help him, if he only obey, then I'll make him rich. If Miss Helena will only let me help her, if she will only obey, then I'll make Miss Helena rich. We could go on and on with that, but you need to personalize it for yourself. When does God help us? The answer is simple. When we listen to what he has to say and follows his instructions, when we obey his word. However, we fail to follow these seven instructions, we will face a less than desirable response from the Lord. This is further evidenced by Isaiah 120, Living Bible. But if you keep on turning your backs and refuse to listen to me, you'll be killed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Did you hear that? We suffer the consequences of death and defeat when we do not heed the instructions of our Heavenly Father. When we follow God's instructions, when we do the seven things He tells us to do, He'll make us rich. But that choice is ours. Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHerring.com. Click the button that says Sow a Seed. If you've been blessed by the teaching or the ministry, just ask God what seed He'd have you sow. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.